Praise the Lord. Message number 10. The title of the message, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's open our Bible to Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And let's also read from the book of Acts. As we know that the writer of the book of Luke and the book of Acts is Luke, is the same writer. And let us read the whole chapter 1 and let's see what had happened after the last word of Jesus to them to stay. And what Luke also wrote, what had happened after the resurrection of Christ and after he ascended to heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him going to heaven. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you for your word that guides us and directs us. Lord, I pray that you anoint the message and you arrange the message in the way that you want it to be, O God. I pray that many questions will be answered, O God, and I pray that the message will bring you glory and honor. I pray that many of those who hear the message, they would desire the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They would set their heart and their life, O Lord, to worship you and to serve you and to live in holiness in their life, O God. I pray in the name of Jesus. Take the message and spread it, O God, and bring it, O Lord, to those who are waiting, O God, to hear your word and do thy will. Anoint my lips, O God, and use the message mightily. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Lord stay with the disciple, teaching them the way of the Lord and how to live for God. But the time had come for him to leave them and go back to God the Father. We know that Jesus is God. He is God the Son. He is sent by the God the Father who is in heaven. Jesus did his part. And finally, he died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again from the dead on the third day. And after 40 days, he ascended to heaven. He need to go back where he came from. So when Jesus, the time had come for him to leave the disciple and his follower, the apostles, then they will be there without God with them. But the plan of God that as Jesus go, the Holy Spirit will come to them. The Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit. We believe that God is one, but in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, who came, and he was with the disciples. He did his part, he taught them, then he died. And then when he went to heaven, he sent and he asked the Father, and he sent them the Holy Spirit. Now, God with us, but God with us is in the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not power, is not fire, but the Holy Spirit is God. As Jesus did all the things to the church, all the things that Jesus did to the apostles and to the disciples, the Holy Spirit did and still doing, and he will still do the same to what Jesus did to his disciple. In John chapter 14 verse 16, Jesus, before he went, he was assuring his disciples, he's telling them, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Holy Spirit is God, and he is now today with the life of the church, and he is doing all and the same work that Jesus was doing in the life of early disciple. The Lord spoke about the Holy Spirit the following. Let's read John 40 verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So as Jesus was teaching the disciple, he went, but as he went, he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he continued to teach the disciple, and he is still teaching us today. And he is still reminding us of everything the Lord have said and the Lord want from us to do. And that's the value of the Holy Spirit. And that's the value of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Those who are not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit, they miss as people who live at the time of Jesus, but they did not meet the Lord. The people who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit, they live. There is God, but they are not enjoying it. There is God, but they are themselves, they are not filled with the Holy Spirit. They are not enjoying the benefit of the Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit, who will teach us all things and who will remind us of all the teaching of Jesus. Therefore, their disciples were waiting to receive the Holy Spirit, who will take the same place and all what Jesus did in their life. So here for us, the importance of the Holy Spirit in our life is the same as the importance of Jesus in the life of the early disciple. Amen. Jesus also said about the Holy Spirit the following, John chapter 16, verse 7, the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? John 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. This statement of Jesus makes it more clear for them why they need to wait to receive the Holy Spirit in their life. As Jesus went, and that is sure, there's a replacement who will do the same thing as Jesus did, the Holy Spirit. That's why he told them in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Stay, don't move until the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will receive the power. He is God, the Holy Spirit, and He will give them the power. And the Holy Spirit give us the power to pray, the power to do miracles, the power to evangelize and spread the word of God, the courage, the boldness, change of personality. The Holy Spirit will break bondages in our life. The Holy Spirit will drive out demons. And the Holy Spirit will do miracles as we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, as if God living inside us. The people will see something extraordinary in our life. God will walk through us. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is what for the disciples they were waiting. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said to them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So there's a power to take the disciple. That is the Holy Spirit, have the power to take disciple and spread them and spread the word of God and to transform their life, that their life will be a witness to the life of Jesus, witness to what Jesus did on earth and what he had fulfilled, the plan of God for the salvation of all mankind. John chapter 16 verse 12 and verse 13, when Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, he said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Their disciples, they realize the need of the Holy Spirit in their lives after Jesus left them to heaven. There are things Jesus wanted to tell them about, but since they don't have the capacity to take that all in one time, then they need to wait and receive the Holy Spirit, who will continue with them and with us today the same mission of Jesus, and he will explain to us more things and the thing that Jesus wanted to know from each and every one of us. So as we receive the Holy Spirit will teach us what Jesus said and what Jesus wants us to know, little by little, step by step. The Holy Spirit had guided the early disciple to the whole truth, and he is guiding us today to the whole truth. Therefore, we need the filling of the Holy Spirit to be guided to know the whole truth. Jesus also say in also in John chapter John chapter 16 and verse 16. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me again. Jesus will be taken away from the disciple. They will not see him. But how they will see him after that? They saw him, and they continued to see him through the Holy Spirit. And here today, the Lord, we see, when we say that we see the Lord is moving, the Lord is speaking. How we hear and how we see the Lord? We see him by the help of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus went to heaven. The disciples are no more able to see him, but after they receive the Holy Spirit, then they can see the Lord and enjoy the fellowship with him. And today, those who have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, they are enjoying the presence of God, the fellowship with Jesus, the life of prayer, the speaking in tongues, the extraordinary faith, the effective witnessing, the evangelism, the miracles, and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are working in their life, and they are blessed. After his resurrection from the dead, Jesus appeared to his disciple in John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. This need to be explained, this point clearly. The word of God says, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That did not represent, in this scripture, that did not represent the filling of the Holy Spirit that they needed to wait for. But that represents the seal of the Holy Spirit that God will give to those who receive Christ. As what Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 say, "And you also were included in Christ when you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." What he say here was, you receive Christ and hear the message and receive him, and you get salvation. You were marked in him with a seal. What was the seal? The promised Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus, when he breathed, say, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They did not baptize at that time with the Holy Spirit, but they receive a deposit guarantee that they will receive the Holy Spirit. But that is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you who have received Christ, you have received the seal, you have been sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, a deposit guarantee. But you need to continue to walk with God so that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. That the early disciple, as Jesus commanded them to stay in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit, they stayed because they have not yet received it. They have received only the sealed, the deposit guarantee of the sure coming of the Holy Spirit, but yet they need to wait until they receive the Holy Spirit. Then they will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they will have the power, and they can move easy to serve God and witness unto the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit that Jesus promised, and he was sent, he was the Father, and the Father sent the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit are promised to those who are sanctified. The Holy Spirit will be given to the true disciples and followers of Christ. The Holy Spirit will be given to the disciple of Jesus, and he will give them the power to live and witness for Christ. Therefore, life of full obedience is essential for the disciple in order for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Word of God declares, and that's what we agree for. Without full obedience and full submission to God's Word and God's will and God's plan, there is no filling with the Holy Spirit. We need to be in full of submission to God and to do and live His will, so that the Holy Spirit will have us and fill us, and we will enjoy life and life to the full. You need to understand as you hear the message. You need to fully commit your life to the Lord, so that the Holy Spirit will have you, and He will have you. He will fill you. When you do the full will of God, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you to do certain things, and you do it, and you are obedient, there you will find yourself filled with that Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit controlling all your life. The early disciples, Jesus commanded them to stay in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. They responded in obedience to the commands and live in a favorable atmosphere that cultivate and bring the Holy Spirit, as we can read before. We will read, as we have read the book of Acts, chapter 1. We will discuss the point that cultivate the Holy Spirit in our life. The Holy Spirit will fall into an obedient church, obedient disciple, obedient member of the church. They will be filled with the Holy Spirit. The early disciple, they were 120 people. They live in full obedience. The disciple, they stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them and they received the power. They did not move before that. Second, they live a life of faith. Faith is very important, because if you ask and you don't believe, you don't receive. As you hear the message and you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you ask the Lord to fill you. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, the Word of God say, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? And verse 12, or if he asks for egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, in verse 13, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. You need to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and ask and you will receive. But when you ask, you should not doubt. James chapter 1 verse 6 and 7, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all he does. So we find here that there must be obedience, there must be faith, there must be no doubt in your life. How we can know that the believer live in faith? They believe that Jesus will send them the Holy Spirit, and therefore they stayed waiting upon the promise of God. Their faith was manifested by deeds showed by their patience to wait and by the style of life that they lived for Christ. They showed their faith with acts and deeds, as the word of God declares in James chapter 2 verse 18. But some will say, you have faith, I have deed. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. How they show that they have obeyed the Lord and they have faith in the Lord? With what they did while they were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. While you are waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, you need to do what the early disciples have done as they were waiting for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We have read in the book of Acts, chapter 1 until verse 11. We will continue to read from verse 12 to the end of the chapter. After the ascension of Jesus, and after they saw him, he went to heaven. That is in verse 9 to verse 11. Let us read it, and then we will continue to the end. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem. Here we find that Jesus told them, stay in Jerusalem. They went, they returned to Jerusalem. They did not go somewhere else, because they are waiting for something special. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the Holy Spirit or something else? If you wait for something else, you will find yourself moving in a different, wrong direction. Wait for the Holy Spirit and be where God wants you to be and do His will. Then you will find yourself filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field there. He fell headlong. His body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their languages Akeldama, which is field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it. May another take his place of leadership. Verse 21, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias, for they prayed. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, with Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. As we have read, while the disciples they were waiting, we will discover more of the things that they did while they were waiting for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We say that they live in full obedience. They live in full faith, and their life was full of faith manifested by deed. And third, they live in unity. They all join together constantly. They live together, the 120 disciples, united with one mind and one thought. More than the physical unity is the spiritual unity. They were living together because they were a separate community. They were a separate community. But not only the physical unity is important, but the spiritual one. They were united around Jesus and on what God's word says. We as disciples, we need to be united with God and agree on His word and have the mind of Christ and the thoughts of Christ, and to have one purpose, to serve God and the vision of Jesus who commissioned us. Now, they all join together. If we are together with one mind and one thought and we have one vision, then we are more effective, and the Holy Spirit will find a beautiful atmosphere of love and caring with one another as we are together. And that's why the importance of the church. We have to express our love to one another and care for one another and forgiveness for one another and understanding for one another and accepting the differences as a blessing from God. Then we need to be united with the same. Not only we are united according to the word of God, but the vision of God also. We have to unite ourselves with the vision of God and the commission of Jesus. Matthew 28 verse 19 and 20. He told them, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Why Jesus promised them the Holy Spirit? Because they need the Holy Spirit to go and make disciples, to evangelize, to drive out demons, to hear the call and the voice of God, the instruction of God. But the Holy Spirit would be given to them if they keep the vision of God and what is in the heart of Jesus has been placed in their heart. Then the Holy Spirit would sure have come on them and baptized them, because they are going to do what Jesus expected from them to do. The same for us today, the same for you today. As you set your heart with the vision of God and the plan of God and the will of God and what God wants you to do and to be, then the Holy Spirit will find you a suitable and a favorable clay jar to be filled, to be used by God mightily. Unity in the church and the parameters that we mentioned above is so important. Not only the physical unity coming together, but the spiritual unity in one mind and thought, and agree with the word of God. Agree with one another according to what the word of God say, not according what we say. Some people, they are united, but not on the Word of God. There is no Holy Spirit there in such kind of people. There must be a suitable atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to be pouring on the church member to enable us to do the mission and the vision of God. What more we can discern from the scripture? They live a life of a prayer. Acts chapter 1 verse 14 say, they all joined together constantly in a prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Life of prayer. Prayer is our backbone. We can't stand as a church to face the world without life of prayer. Life of prayer enables us to face the challenges and the threats of the world and make our journey and mission smooth as we go forward in achieving God's purpose and the vision and His vision in our lives. Constantly meeting in prayer. When we meet, we don't gossip, we don't tell stories, and we don't go into long speech without making a point that we need to pray. Kneeling down, crying to God, waiting upon God until He will come and answer our prayer. Trusting God fully is a life of prayer. Jesus spoke many things about prayer, and He lived a life of prayer. Let us take the example of Jesus' life as a model for us to pray. All of us, including myself, we need to increase our time for prayer. Whole night He was praying, waking up early morning to pray. We are fully occupied with a lot of things, but we don't have time to keep our prayer, even if we are praying. But we need to increase the time so that the Holy Spirit will find in us the good atmosphere of the filling with the Holy Spirit. Not on prayer, we pray and we obey the Word of God. We pray and we put our ears to what God wants saying to us and what God wants us to do. What we observe more from the life of the disciples, the early disciples, while they were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. The thing that we observe, we need to apply in our life. You say here in verse 15 to verse 20, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers. He stood up for God. He told the believer what he has received from the Lord. The Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he needed to put it in the front of the church, in front of the believer. We need to stand up. We need to speak the Word of God, the will of God, and what the Holy Spirit give us. Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, in verse 16, and said, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled. Yes, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of Judas. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry with the reward he got for his wickedness. Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this. So they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is field of blood. For said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalm, May his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take his place of leadership. The scripture of God are the wisdom and the power of God. Paul say, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for in the gospel is the power and the wisdom of God. We as a church, as we endeavor to fulfill the scripture and to live To achieve that, what His word teach and declare, we receive the wisdom and the power of God. The more we fulfill scripture, the more we have power and the more we have wisdom. The more we have, we break scripture, the more we are weak and we are poor. What Peter caught about from the word of God and related to the conspiracy of Judas was from the Old Testament, as we can read the quotation. Psalm 69 verse 25, the same in their place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in their tents. And Psalm 109 verse 8, may his days be few, may another take his place of leadership. What Peter caught from the scripture had helped the church to go forward in their mission and elect another apostle to fill the place that Judas left. The application of the above incidents in our life as a church is this. As we endeavor as church to fulfill the scripture, the Lord will lead us to take important decisions that are vital to the Lord and for the life of our church. The quotation that Peter, Mick, and the Holy Spirit had given to him and directed him is that you don't need to be discouraged. Even if he was one of the number, you need to go forward. You need to focus on God. And so they live that fulfillment of the scripture. They understood that the scripture need to be fulfilled, that somebody need to be put in replacement to Judas. No need to continue to pray, oh, we lose Judah, oh, Judah went away, oh, this man went away, and this sister went away, and this group went away, and this congregation went away. That is will not help. That will more get hurt to us. We need to focus. The word of God say, let them, may their place be, what is say here, may their place be deserted in Psalm 69. Let there be no one dwell in their tent. There is a curse on those who are disobedient. May his days be few. They will be of no benefit. May another take his place of leadership. God will give another person. So when they fulfill the scripture, when they were willing to fulfill the scripture, then God lead them to the things to take important decisions that are vital to the Lord and for the life of the church. The same for us. As we endeavor to fulfill scripture, God will show us certain decisions we need to take that will help us to heal our wound and push us forward and encourage us to move on to do the right thing that God wants us to do. They lived, the early church, the early disciples, the early apostles, the 120 disciples, they live a life in full trusting the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 and 6 say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Judas Iscariot was one of the apostles and he was the one who was keeping the treasury. In other words, he was having an important position in the life of the early church. But the early church, who were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, they trusted the Lord that he can fill any vacant place, and in his presence all things can be fulfilled and go well. What is a church here? What does a worker learn from the above lesson? We learn that every worker in the church is important, but God is the only essential person in the church. No one should have the pride and think that without him, the church will be affected. That is a wrong concept. Although all of us as workers are important for the church, but God, but it is God who is doing His work and will through us. So we are not the one, but God is the one who is working and doing the needful things. Our part is to yield ourselves to the Lord. But if any one of us take the pride of himself, then God will move to use another person. Therefore, let that person who think, let that brother and sister who think and behave in a wrong attitude, that he or she should know that without him or her, the church will still go better, because God, the essential and crucial person, is still present in the life of his church in the Holy Spirit. Amen. That have to be very important point. All of us are important, but God is essential. All of us are important as long you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. As long you are willing to be used by God. As long that you forsake your pride and do God's will. As long as you forsake your love of money and greed and do God's will and humble yourself, God will use you mightily. But once the Holy Spirit will find a pride in you, he will use another person and he will do more things than you. It is not we do, but the Holy Spirit who work in us and through us. The early church, they did their administrative work in a proper way. In Acts chapter 1 verse 21 to 26 we read, therefore it is necessary after the scripture opened their eyes to the decision and the step and the way to go to come out from the valley, they decide this. Therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time. The Lord went in and out among us, beginning from John baptisms to the time when Jesus was taken out from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry with Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. While they were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit on them, they continued to do their duties and fulfill their responsibilities. They were led by the scripture to choose suitable people who can fill the place of Judas according to the following criteria. Who have been with us the whole time. The Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. Acts chapter 1 verse 21 and verse 22, part of verse 22. So there's a criteria. And to those who had left us, to those who had betrayed us, to those who are betrayed the Lord and left and do wrong things, we do not need to mourn, but we need to continue to go and make disciples and choose a suitable people who will replace them and do God's will. We have a criteria. The criteria is from the Word of God. It shows who those who are committed, and according to that we choose for the following purpose. We choose people for the following purpose. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. We need workers to go with us. To go with us. The number must be complete. God needs workers. And whom God will use? Those who are available. From those who are available, we choose people who are fit to do the ministry. Who are fit to be used by the Lord to go and witness for Christ. So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas and Matthias, and they left the final decision for God to choose the one he wants. We choose the people, but we ask the Lord, we pray, as they pray, Lord, you know everyone's heart, show us Which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs?" The same for us. We are doing now the apostolic ministry. The apostle, they laid the foundation of Christ. We will not lay more than what they laid. But we continue to do their ministry. And we as in apostolic ministry, in going and making disciples, and planting churches, we need workers. How we choose them? We choose them. But the final decision is in the hand of the Lord. We pray, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. So as which of these you have chosen. So as which of those you have chosen." And cast the lot, the early disciples, the early apostles, they can cast the lot as a biblical way to receive the Lord's decision. And Messiah was chosen and added to the 11th apostle. By this, the apostle, they have done their part properly. At that point, they were ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And truly, when we read Acts chapter 2, we find that the Holy Spirit, they were together in one place. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, the 120. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I believe you hear the word of God. If you persevere in doing what the early church was doing, you will find yourself being taken by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, and speaking in tongues, evangelizing with the power of God, and witnessing to the life of Christ. As we hear the message, kneel down, and let us all kneel down at the feet of Him, asking Him to fill us and those who are baptized with the Holy Spirit, as the Lord to refill you. And those who have not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit, ask without doubt, trusting the Lord. Live life of prayer, live in unity with God's word and the plan of God and the vision of God and with the church. Live in full trust the Lord. Live a life to fulfill the scripture. And live a life, do your work and ministry, whatever was entrusted to you, do it faithfully. Trusting God, asking Him, petitioning Him to give you the Holy Spirit. Say to Him, "Lord, fill me with your good Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me, O God, with the Holy Spirit. Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, I pray, everyone who repent of his sin and earnestly ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. May your will be done, O God. May your word bring you glory, O God, and the harvest of hundredfold. I pray, Lord, that many will get delivered and be filled with the Holy Spirit. O God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Take your word and make it separate, O God. And let it reach to those who are waiting to hear your word. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We bless you, Master. O God, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us. And keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.